Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Finding someone who shares your values in today's culture isn't easy. And being single around the holidays isn't easy either. That's why Catholic Singles created a website and app where single Catholics can meet and get to know each other that focuses on values, activities, and interests. For over two decades, Catholic Singles has been fostering deep relationships because your faith matters. Start today at CatholicSingles.com.
Ignatius Press is pleased to announce the first national book club created for Catholic schools. Ignatius Book Club for Catholic Schools was launched to support Catholic schools' dedication to forming the whole child, mind, body, and spirit. Ignatius Book Club for Schools partnered with leading publishers of children's literature to offer the best books and educational materials for all reading levels and interests. Head to IgnatiusBookClub.com/podcast and find wholesome books that delight, inspire, and enrich. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com. CMF Curo. Healthcare fully alive.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, recording live on Facebook. Okay, it's been a year and I still get this wrong, Bill. Every single time I start the show, we are recording live on Facebook and this is distributed through Breadbox Media. My guest today is Bill Schneider. Bill is with patchworkheart.org. He's also a podcaster over at Breadbox Media, but I'm going to let him tell you all that as we have this conversation today. I'm really excited to bring this young man to you. His story is remarkable and he is remarkable, and I think that you will be as impressed as I am. So again, Bill Schneider, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much, Allison. It's awesome to be with you today.
Well, you were such a gracious host on your show, whose name is just, my notes are gone. Remind me again of the name of your show.
The name of my show is Young Catholics Respond.
See, that's why I can't remember it, because I'm a little slightly older young Catholic.
Yeah, you know, it's for all ages. It just happens to be I'm young. I had another podcaster on who once told me, he said, when are you going to change it to middle-aged Catholics Respond? What age do you do that? And I said, I don't know. When the church says maybe at 39 or 40 or whatever I hit that age, I'll change it to middle-aged Catholics Respond.
Oh, I love it. See, yeah. Young Catholics Respond, and I was a guest just a few months ago, well, a month ago probably now, and I have that link up on my website. And of course, you can go to Breadbox Media anytime to listen to Bill's or A Seeking Heart or any of the wonderful podcasts. I think Pete Sox has it up to like 50 now. He's man is incredible. It's like the Energizer Bunny of the Catholic world.
I know he is. Big shout out to Pete, doing great work.
He's a good friend. He's amazing. So we have some Anna is joining us today from Arizona. She was a local person. She just moved out there. Now I'm kind of jealous. It's not snowing here yet, Anna, but I bet it's nice and toasty warm, which it's not here. Hence the seven layers of clothing.
Not here.
So Bill, tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. So my journey in faith actually begins even before I can remember or have any memory. As a baby, I was diagnosed with a congenital heart defect called tetralogy of Fallot. And that required me to have immediate open heart surgery at about 3 weeks of age. And so at 3 weeks of age, I also, right before that, I had an emergency baptism in the hospital. I always like to tell people, you know, my baptism isn't any more important than yours. Baptism does the same thing for everybody, but I just happened to have mine in an emergency situation where the Lord came very early into my life, right? I mean, at 3 weeks of age, most people are being baptized maybe at 6 months or even, you know, 7-8 months down the road. I was lucky enough to be baptized at 3 weeks of age. So that's when the Lord came into my life.
Well, if it's a competition, Bill, I have you beat. Because back in the old days, we got baptized 1 week after birth. Mama didn't always make it to the hospital. Sometimes your godparents brought you. And I'm from Portuguese descent, so we're very fatalistic. So we believe as soon as possible, because anything can happen. So I win that competition.
Yeah, you do win that one.
So you were baptized very young. You had this heart surgery now and this congenital, easy for me to say. So tell us more about the heart disease. And
Basically it required that I'd have, some follow-up, a lot of follow-up care, a lot of interventions early in my life, Allison, a lot of early interventions, some catheterizations and everything, two surgeries in the first year of my life. And so with that being said, back in 1985, when I was born, things didn't always go according to plan. The medical science is not where it is today. Thank God it is where it is today. But I ended up having a stroke as a result of one of those procedures. They can't tell you exactly where or when I had that, stroke, but it was definitely in the first year and a half of my life. And so, of course, my mom and dad didn't realize that. You're a baby. You don't, have all the motor function you do as a young child or even as an adolescent or adult. So as my mom started to recognize that I was having some different seizures and some different issues, they did a brain scan and said, hey, yeah, he does have a stroke here. And so that what that did was it affected the left half of my body, the entire left half of my body. Has a effect where, I can't have any fine motor skills with my hand, some control issues. But I went through a lot of, therapy, a lot of, physical therapy, occupational therapy as a kid, and really overcame a lot of those battles and struggles.
I'm just saying hello to a couple of other people who have joined us. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, distributed through Breadbox Media. My guest today is Bill Schneider. Hello, Jennifer Longworth. Long time no see. Happy to have you here with us today. And Sean, nice to have you join us. Hello, Allie and Bill. Nice for you to come on and listen. So Bill's telling us about... Now, Bill, I'm wondering, as a mom... During all of this, what is your parents' faith like? And I know it's not your testimony to tell, but I know that most people who have a faith at such a young age doesn't just come out of the blue. Clearly, getting you baptized was important. So I'm just a little curious about your parents.
Yeah, my mom is a registered nurse, and she would tell you that she was much more concerned with getting blood donations lined up at the time than she was at getting me baptized. My father was the one who was like, hey, you know what? What do you think about having this kid baptized? I think it's kind of an important thing. And so she says she was in the back of the church lining up blood donors during my baptism. That's the way, or back at the hospital chapel. That's what she likes to say.
That's a good mom.
Yeah, it is a very good mom. Yes. Yes, it is.
Because she, faith enough to know God's got this. I'm just going to make sure I need to do what I need to do to get my boy well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And she's been there with every step of the way. At every doctor's appointment I've ever had for my heart, she's still going at age 33. So yeah, she's been there every step of the way, whether it's sleeping in a blue chair or, being there at my side for anything that I would need. She's always been there.
I have to say that parenting is like wearing, I'm not going to make this up. I'm just the one who stole it, but it's like wearing your heart on the outside, no pun intended, but it is really like your heart walks around now with arms and legs. You just want to do everything you can to take care of that child and keep them safe. Yeah. And whether you give birth, I have two biological children and I have an adoptive daughter. So no matter how they come to you, once you become their parent, you're like, I need to protect you.
Yeah. And they certainly were. My parents are very faithful people. They would always say that, this experience, they were younger than I was when they went through this. I mean, right now. So, I mean, they were, like 27, 20, 24 years old as they're going through this with their kids. So, I mean, their faith grew. I mean, they would tell you that their faith grew immensely. from that whole, you know, menagerie of things going on with my heart.
Do you have brothers or sisters, or?
Yes, I'm the oldest, but my brother is 3 years younger, and then my sister is 10 years younger than I am. So I have one younger brother and one younger sister.
So what is your health like now? What's going on inside of Bill these days?
I had a CAL valve put in 2013. Pulmonary valve was put in, and they said, you're looking great. Keep going for the next 20, 25 years, hopefully. You know, without needing any more intervention until the valve is gone. But, you know, you always have to be aware of it. You always have to be on top of it. I have so many different patches sewn in my heart. That's where I get the ministry name, right? Patchwork heart. So, you know, I have so many different patches sewn in my heart that I got to keep track of them all and make sure they're all good.
Well, I've shared with you, and I think most of the listeners will know that my own father had a heart transplant at 55, his first heart attack at 34. We just lost him last month. But he got 20 years more with that heart transplant than we were told 9 years tops. He lived for 20 more years and really made the most of it, including renewing his relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's like two responses, I think, to illness. One, and I'd love to get your take on this, Bill. Again, we're talking with Bill Schneider from patchworkheart.org. Some people look at illness and they blame God, you know, especially if they feel like they've been a pretty good person. Like, I've done everything good, Lord. I follow you, or, you know, I've not hurt anybody. And then you make me sick, or you make my kids sick. What kind of God are you? And they run away being like, had enough of you. And other people like yourself, it brings them closer to God. And I'd love to know your thought on that.
Yeah, sure. You know, I'll tell you that there are certainly moments in my life where I wish that all of this wasn't present, right? and I question at times, hey, you know, God, why me? But at the same time, it is a great privilege and responsibility to have what I have, and to know that it's part of my calling as a Catholic and as a Christian to share this story and my heart. You know, it's not my story to just keep to myself. This is a story that I'm supposed to tell about, you know, how my faith grew through this. And how a day-to-day grind of dealing with a disability, dealing with doctors and hospitals and surgeries and everything, it gives other people hope. And so therefore, I know that my story is not my own to tell, you know, not just for me to keep personally, but it is for, you know, me to encounter different people. And I do that in different ways, right? I mean, it can be on a bus, it could be on my website, it could be on a radio show like this, or on a podcast like this. So, you know, there's multiple ways the Lord is using the story.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about patchworkheart.org. How are you using the story on your website?
It's kind of been evolving over time. In 2012 was when the Holy Spirit took the 2x4 to my face and said, you need to start a ministry. And I said, okay, Holy Spirit, give me a name for it, because I really had no idea. And I was driving home praying the rosary in the car with some students, and the name came Patchwork Heart Ministry. So I was like, all right, perfect. I got the name, I'll start the website. And at the time I was living with conventual Franciscans, and I had, as part of a 12th grade English project, I had written an autobiography, kind of detailing all the surgeries and stuff that I had been through and how my faith had grown through it. And at that time I had a Franciscan brother, Brother Charlie Madden, and he has a book out called I Gave Up Stealing for Lent, and which is a great title of a book. And it was just a kind of collection of stories like mine is, although mine's much shorter. And I said, here, you know what? I wrote this thing in 12th grade. Here you go. Just read it. Kind of like, you know, over breakfast one morning, over a bowl of Fruit Loops. I said, here you go. It's like, you know, 100, it's like 36 pages. Go ahead, read it. And I went on a retreat, came back from the retreat, he said, you have to publish this. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I ended up self-publishing this little 36-page autobiography as part of the ministry called Solar Quest, S-O-U-L-A-R, Quest. And I,
oh,
you know,
very clever.
So it's a short 36-page autobiography, very creative, of my journey through space and how I kind of found myself and landed, you know, through in high school and kind of gained and gathered my faith.
Hold on for 1 second. So Solar Quest, S-O-U-L-A-R,
yes.
And where is that available? Is it still available?
It is, yeah, but you can get it on my website, and it's on Amazon as a download on Amazon, and it's on, I think, the Barnes & Noble Nook as well. So you can get it on the Kindle, the Nook, and on my website, patchworkheart.org.
Okay, I wanted to make sure I put it up here. I'm just going to scroll onto view in a minute yeah. So people who are interested can grab it, and you can continue. So you wrote, it's S-O-U-L-A-R, Quest, right? Did I get that right?
Yeah, awesome. You got it. So ULARquest.com. That was the name my mom helped give me that name when I was in high school. So that I, you know, just as published, self-published, and really enjoyed, you know, doing that. So the ministry continued to kind of grow. I have my, you know, background TV radio production. So here comes along comes Young Catholics Respond. And I've also done a devotional on the Stations of the Cross. So again, that's available on the website as well, but a little devotional on the Stations of the Cross called Contemplative Stations of the Cross. So it's continually growing. I'm working on one for Advent now too. I know it's Advent right now, but it won't be ready this Advent. It'll be ready for maybe next Advent. And working on one. So yeah, you know, a lot of different book publishing, like little devotionals, books, stuff like that, is really where, you know, God is taking the ministry. Of course, my story, but more and more, it's becoming, you know, through my prayer life. You know, what am I able to help? You know, as I'm praying, as I'm struggling in my own faith, how am I able to help others grow in hope? I use the tagline on my website. I think sowing hope into broken hearts. So kind of sums it up.
More working on that, Patrick. That's pretty good stuff.
Yeah. I guess it's all that creativity that's coming out. I don't know.
So what do you really can think of as your like central message? Like what you say, giving hope, like how do you feel that you do that?
I think, you know, when I talk to a lot of people, and actually I'm a full-time Uber driver now. So I get a chance to cross section a lot of people. And when I talk with them, I hear how much brokenness there is in their life. And that can be, I mean, you know, I don't have to give names, but I can, you know, there's so much divorce. There's so much many issues and problems out there in the world. And listening to their brokenness, you know, and just being able to listen and be there for them in that brokenness and say, hey, you know what? There's somebody out there named Jesus, and this Jesus can be the healer. I like to think of myself as a divine physician assistant, pointing people to the tools of you know, Jesus. And to different books. I mean, I just had a guy in my car the other day. I said, hey, you know what? This podcast is actually really good. It's not mine, but it's somebody else's. And just by the way, tune in. I think it'd be a perfect thing. You know, you're out there riding motorcycles. You're out there doing this stuff and you're going through this divorce. I kind of do it even like, you know, covertly, right? I mean, it's kind of like, all right, I'll drop the name of this podcast and I'll just say, hey, you should subscribe to this and not even really bring up, you know, if there's a touchy subject like the church, I might even bring up the church. I might just say, but you know what, tune in because this is going to, you know, transform your life. So a lot of different ways and opportunities to, you know, just point people in the right direction and give them the tools. That's really what I look myself as.
No, like podcasting is not complete. I mean, here I am, a seeking heart and creating a podcast, but I actually got started by doing radio. Podcasting is kind of new to my generation, the slightly older young adult. What is podcasting like for your generation and why do you think it's so popular?
I think more and more in media, what we're seeing is the the on-demand, right? I mean, Netflix is super popular, and everyone is DVRing. Even if it's on TV, you're not sitting down at 7 o'clock p.m. to watch it anymore. We don't have time for that anymore, right? Everybody has these individual schedules. So what are they doing? They're DVRing, they're podcasting, they're on-demanding this stuff. And, you know, if you're not moving in that direction, unfortunately, you know, it's going to kind of be antiquated. So it doesn't mean that radio and TV and they don't have their purpose and their place. As I always tell my mom, I said, I can't stand watching live sports or later on the DVR. I said, I can't do that. It's not live. No.
Those have to be live.
But, other than that, I think a lot of people are doing the on demand, thing, which is the reason why I think young people, you know, whether on the treadmill or whether they're on, you know, in their car, wherever they are, they're listening on their phones or whatever. And they can listen a little bit at a time too. I think that's the other thing that's really nice is that you can listen to half a show. You know, they might be listening to us right now on a treadmill and going, oh, you know, I got to get off and go to work, but this is kind of cool. I can go listen to the rest of this, you know, later on my ride home from work or whatever.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that, is listening to it later. So what are some of your favorite podcasts, Bill?
Some of my favorite podcasts, I first love Forte Catholic. I'd definitely say Forte Catholic is awesome. And then the other ones that I tune into would be which is Bear Wozniak, the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I love working with Bear and Bear Wozniak and EWTN. He's just a great guy. Gets so many cool, interesting people and guests, although there's a lot of repeat guests too, which is nice because you get repeat things. So he does a lot of that. But as far as podcasting goes, I also get to talk with a lot of interesting podcasters like yourself. So, you know, I think being on different podcasts and talking to them, I always like to hear and see the brand, the different brands that are out there under this big Catholic umbrella that we're all under.
I absolutely love, and I'm very grateful that the Lord put me in this time and date. First of all, I would be horrible if I had to bring my laundry down to the stream to wash it, because I barely get it done with it in the basement. So I'm pretty happy to be. But I love that we can connect with people from really across the globe. And I have a really funny Bear story. You were just talking about, I can't even say his last name. I'm not even going to try. Can you say it for me? Yes. So I was at the Catholic Radio Conference for the first time, and I sat down unwittingly next to this guy at breakfast. Yeah. And the next thing I know, the breakfast flew by because if you can out-talk me, you're doing something. But he was really fascinating. He was funny, really energetic. I thought I had ADD. He beat me by 1,000%. Like, I'm known as the squirrel girl. I had nothing on him.
He's the only ninja I know. So let's just put it that way. And he's really a ninja.
It's funny. Ninja on a surfboard. Yeah. But there really is a lot of wonderful Catholics of all ages. And I love that we have this intergenerational. I have a Bible study that I do at my home. And we have in the 20s up into the 70s. I think we all have something to share. We have the wisdom.
Yes.
You know, of the 70-year-old who's going to be 80 pretty soon. But we also, the 20-year-old brings us that refreshment, that excitement about falling in love with Jesus for the first time and remembering to stay young at heart and to have that hopefulness that sometimes we get kind of jaded in our lives. So do you find that your mess, you said earlier, that's Young Catholics Respond is the podcast on Breadbox Media, but do you find your audience or the people you interact with are kind of a mixed age group or intergenerational as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The way I use the title Young Catholics Respond is I always like to think of it as the young Catholic response to the culture. You know, who can I as a young Catholic bring on and talk to that can give wisdom to other young Catholics out there, but also be relevant for everybody? I mean, I just had Bishop Sam Jacobs on, and you know, so he's like, you know, a retired bishop of Houma Thibodeau in Louisiana, and he's, you know, talking about, you know, what that, you know, episcopacy is like, and his life in the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, you think about people like that, and it's like, okay, well, there's so much wisdom packed into this that we have to go intergenerationally. We have to talk to all generations. I mean, even the five-year-old kid can give us a beautiful theology about who Jesus is. And you know, we can talk to anybody. We can have conversations with anyone. And this is just, I just happen to be young right now. So I'm the age of Jesus now. So 33, when he died, he was 33. So that's how old I am for another few months. So.
You know, the minute you said that, that's exactly what I thought. I mean, talk about a Catholic dork. you said 33. I'm like, oh, that's Jesus's age.
Right. Jesus' age when he died. Yeah. And rose. So.
Yeah. So you might be a Catholic. Well, I don't think this is like actual theology, honestly, but there are some scholars who have written about what age we are in heaven, and that there is some who believe that we're all 33, which is fine and good, but I looked way better. If we could just go to, like, I don't know, 22, I'd be like much happier. Yeah,
oh my
gosh. I was having babies in my 30s. I don't want to go.
You don't want to be there. Oh, that's funny.
Oh my gosh. Truly, truly fun. I'm like trying to read my own notes. Well, I'll get to the other note in a second, but I can read this one. Congratulations, you just got newly engaged.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, my fiance and I couldn't be happier. Yeah, I got engaged right before I went to Puerto Rico for Thanksgiving. So she's just wonderful. Can't wait to share a life with her. It's going to be phenomenal.
So tell it, like, I want the scoop though, Bill, I'm talking to Bill Schneider.
All right, sorry.
His patchworkheart.org. How did you propose? Do
all right. Good? You know what? It was incredibly lame. So, which is going to make a great story, right? So, I was at home waiting for the ring to come from FedEx, because, you know, that's how we all do things online. You know, us young people do order these things online. So I order the ring online. I'm waiting for FedEx to come. And I get the ring, and I said, I just got to get it out of my hands. I'm just like, I'm done. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's in my hands. It looks great. It's got to get out. Got to go. So we're getting ready to fly to Puerto Rico for Thanksgiving. I was thinking, oh, maybe I'll do it, you know, something weird, and, you know, have like TSA pat me down and blah, blah, blah through the airport. I was like, probably not a good idea. Kind of stressful in the airport. So, I just called her. I actually texted her. I said, hey, what are you doing? Let's just go out for something to eat. So she's like, oh, I'm not feeling all that good. All I really want is soup. And I was like, well, I know a place that has soup next to you. So let's just go get a bowl of soup. So over a bowl of chicken dumpling soup, I put the ring box on the table, and I said, I hope you marry me. And she was like, yes. So it worked out. You know what I mean? And we flew to Puerto Rico, and had a fantastic Thanksgiving with her family, because her family is from Puerto Rico. So,
good timing before you went.
Yes. And you know what? We kept it really dark on Facebook, and nothing on Facebook until we got down there, so we could surprise her folks and down there. And I had asked her mom, you know, and I said, I'll most likely be engaged before I come down for Thanksgiving. But just so you know, we waited for her to, you know, surprise her parents in person, which was very cool.
That is super romantic. That's very sweet. That is a really sweet story. My story, just real quick. I was 21. My husband was 23. My boyfriend at the time. We had been dating already for 4 years, and I was like, "All right, it's either, you know, we get engaged or I'm moving on, because I'm young and I need to find the husband now." That's my mentality at 21. So he had decided already to ask me to get married, but he didn't know how to do it, and he completely panicked. So he brings me to my favorite restaurant. He doesn't ask. I start to cry in the car because I'm 21 and I'm very emotional. Leaving the restaurant, he's like, "What is wrong with you?" And I was like, "I thought you were going to ask me to get married." And I was so sad. He goes, "Yeah, it's in the expletive glove compartment." That's what he says to me. We're driving around the rotary, and he's like, "Yeah, it's in the beep glove compartment, to which and he's not a swearing person. So it's really funny. Like, that story makes it even funnier because this isn't a guy who swears, but he was so flustered by this whole, like, he'd left the ring in the car and he was panicked because this ring was in the car. So I open up the glove compartment and there's the ring. And so I start to cry and he's like, well, will you marry me? And I said, well, first he's like, well, what's your answer? I'm like, well, you haven't asked me yet. And I still said yes.
Oh, there you go.
So, meant to be, and here we are.
Exactly.
30 years later, still together.
Awesome. Oh my goodness. Awesome. Congrats.
Well, Bill, you have so many great things that you're doing. So you have the Solar Quest book. You said you've got other things you published too, self-published or available on your website?
Yeah, self-published. Yep, all on the website. Yeah, you can check it out. You know, there's actually like a store page on my website. So yeah, you can check it out if you just go to petrocart.org, and I think there's a thing that says online store or something like that as a page there. But yeah, there's the Contemplative Stations of the Cross, which are great for Lent. It's only like a literally 14 page book. It's very, very small. But the questions or the thoughts are deep. So it gives you the ability to kind of pray through it. I know there's a couple of Catholic parishes out there. If you're a Catholic parish looking for something that you want to pray with your parishioners, they like it because you can do the stations, you know, in about a half an hour versus doing them, you know, for an hour or whatever. So there's some that, you know, like to use them and use reflections. The new second edition of them that I just came out with has the scripture in the back, so you can pair it with some scripture readings if you want as well, to kind of some suggested scripture, I should say, in the back there. So you know, check it out on the website. They're incredibly reasonable. They're only $2 a booklet, so you know, not breaking anybody's bank.
I was thinking those would be great too for adoration chapels. You know, there's I know when I go in, I'm always looking for something new to do in there. I go every week, sometimes two or three times a week. And I come before the internet and my phone, I'd come literally with a bag of tricks, like of all kinds of information. And many saints have told us the blessings. St. Faustina, one of my favorites, yes. You know, saying to pray the Stations of the Cross for holy souls, for our own soul, for obviously for the world. So I think that's, and there's not a lot on the Stations of the Cross. So I think that's a really cool avenue that you have taken. And I'll definitely be getting myself a set and leaving it at my own adoration chapel. As we wind down to the end of today's program, is there anything, any passing parting words or thoughts you'd like to share with us, Bill?
I'll just tell people, if you're out there and you're looking for hope, give Jesus a chance. Maybe you've given him a chance before, but don't ever hesitate to give Jesus another chance in your life. He is a God of surprises, and he will surprise you along the way throughout your life. So give Jesus a chance in your life.
Amen. That's wonderful. And we just do that in the very simplest ways, just inviting him, just saying, all right, I don't know who you are really or what you're up to, but I'm open for a conversation. Yep. And then if you're like me, once you say that, hold on tight.
Yeah, hang on. Hang on tight for sure.
In a good way.
Yes, in a very good way.
In a very good way. Well, Bill Schneider, it's been just a delight to have you here. Congratulations again on your engagement. I wish you much luck and love. That's just beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
We've been talking with Bill Schneider, patchworkheart.org, and you've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, distributed through Breadbox Media. God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.